Still we pray, Heavenly Father, we come to your great throne of mercy and grace this hour, Lord, requesting especially for your permission to preach the word with your anointing sent down from on high, Lord, giving us understanding, hearts and minds to truly know the way of God, and believing at this hour that the very word, the mechanics thereof, shall be dynamized to literally take the life and light that lies therein by the Holy Spirit to produce that same word in us. We do thank you for what you've done so far for us, Lord, believing now that you will do all else that lies in your word, which is you bring the dead out of the ground, Lord. You have a bride ready also for that perfection, being a part of it, changing her and taking us away. Our whole hope is built on that, Lord, and we have no other hope and no other desire. We believe that this is the hour for it. We commend ourselves to you, therefore, to this word of grace and this interest in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, certainly wonderful to have the folk here. I know that could easily run in the minds of the people. Wouldn't it be nice if we had, you know, a full house like this all the time? No, not unless the same people were here. I wouldn't be interested. You say, well, Brother Dale, you know, bride's bride. Yeah, that's true, bride's bride. But, you know, let's face it, I got a bride and I sure wouldn't want your bride. And you got a bride. And you wouldn't want my bride. You did, we'd be something wrong with this somewhere. So we love the folk that come from a distance, come visit us, and we feel special interest, and I know that you have special interest in us. And, you know, it's that creates the Spirit. I just thinking here this morning that, like, the Spirit of God moved in so beautifully. And I said to myself, I know all these people. And like I said so many times in the pulpit, you know my faults and I know your faults. And it's a faulty subject, isn't it? They bring on earthquakes. But Brother Branham said that the best we have is brotherly kindness, which is prickly. But he said the minute that something happens to someone, we always want to help and really do what is right. That is true. If there's something in the Word you can do and stay with the Word in doing it. But I look at it a little different way from that, although I agree 100% with the prophet. I'm going to add my little thought to it, because I know his is already there. It's in other sermons. And that is, when the Spirit of God moves in, you just don't give a rip what the other fellow's thoughts are. They don't really matter. You know, look at it and say, what does it really matter? Because you know all the good points. So we're very happy to have the people here. And so I'm letting you know, you haven't reached perfection any more than I have. But let's enjoy. We're a lot further than the ages have ever come before. So we must just keep pressing on and praising the Lord for his goodness, which we love the move of the Spirit of the living God. Now, the folk here, of course, and you who often get tapes, realize that when I take a message from Brother Branham verbatim, there's hardly a time that I can finish it, because the paradox was, what, an hour and a half? Brother Branham preached an hour and a half, 2 hours? We've concluded 8 messages here, which averaged, I suppose, an hour and 3/4 by the time you run them across the board. Well, 8 times an hour and 3/4 is about 15 hours, somewhere in there. Well, we've got lunch, but it's down at the Grange. And we're not supposed to eat in the house of God. So, and I'm not going to preach 15 hours. So you know what's going to happen. I'm going to go just as far as I can and stop like I do. And then on Wednesday we recap. And tapes are available on one condition. If the pastor of the church says you can have them, you have a pastor, you have to always confer with him. He says, sure, that's okay. You're always able to get them. But if it must always come through the pastor, because that's not just courtesy, that's the Word of God. So we're going to take the rising of the sun this morning, and hopefully we'll get maybe 12, 13, 14 pages. I don't know. I'd like to get to page 22 from number 4, but I don't think we can make it. Now, it says here, Revelation 1:18, 17, 18, Brother Branham reading, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. Now, that ought to tell you something. That's the Alpha and Omega principle. There's going to be something that is back in that day that comes to this day. And I want to tell you now, before we get into it, the major stumbling block of receiving Brother Branham was the lack of understanding of his understanding. Brother Branham categorically said, which I don't believe any theologian has ever said, that is, since the time we have any records whatsoever, on the sheepskin, the papyri, or any other way, etchings, carvings, you name it, there is no record to my knowledge that anybody having said correctly from the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ is obligated to come to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit at the end of the age and do for them what he did for Israel in the flesh. And if you do not see that, which is the true presence, which is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost, it's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost doing it. For those who are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you, in my estimation, cannot understand what the prophet has taught. When the Lord rebuked Brother Branham for doing many things which he thought he was able to do on the grounds of trying to be helpful to the people, which was the great miracle ministry of which the angel of God said, you made a sideshow, but I never could see that myself. But it lets you know how the Holy Spirit moves, so different from us. And he said, you cannot teach Pentecostal babies doctrine, spiritual things. You can't do it. And because the Pentecostal people are legalists, they think there is something they can put into it. Tell me, what can you put into God? I would like someone this morning to tell me, I'm going to put something into God. A piggy bank, yes. But God is not a piggy bank. Into politics and your government, yes. But he's above these governments. Amen. He's King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's sovereign. What can you put into God? Tell me. God himself said, he said, listen, he said, you ever give to me first? He said, I gave to you first. Amen. See, now this is where we are today. But everybody wants to put into it. Brother Brand said, yes, you have something to put into it. Yourself, receive what he said. Amen. Consecration is not saying, here I am, Lord, you know, I'm giving you something. Consecration is, I'm here with empty hands. Lord, do something for me. So see where your theology is? Yeah. I'll say sweet. I won't say manure heads if you pay me. See? It was nice. I try to be nice, but it never works. You know, Moses, I'm going to defend myself. I shouldn't do it. Because it's very nasty to do that, you know. But Moses was a Levite. And Korah was also a Levite. And Dathan and Abiram and the 250 princes came from the other tribes, especially from Reuben and so on, mighty men, and they were valiant. Now, you know what Moses did? He stood there. The same man that loved the people to where he said, Lord, if you take me, you got to take them. You know what he did that day when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those 250 stood against him? He repudiated his own flesh and blood and everybody else and stood at the word. Do you know that the mighty princes came against Brother Branham, the full gospel businessman? Oh, yeah. And the preachers, because it was always at those conventions and breakfasts. And it was there at the minister breakfast and the full gospel business convention, wasn't it now, remember? Well, they all got together and repudiated the prophet, and he stood there. You know, Jesus died to fulfill the word. Only figuratively do we die. We live to fulfill the word. There isn't any difference. Word is word. All right. stay with that word. I saw him, I felt his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Romans 8, verse 11. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now watch. Watch this. Brother, sister, see the difference. Now watch. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. What is it saying? The spirit of God that raised Jesus. If that spirit dwells in you, that one that raised Jesus will also quicken your body. Baptizer, having baptized you unto the resurrection, will now raise you. But your baptism doesn't raise you. We're talking of presence, which we'll get into here, hopefully, with the help of the Lord, if I ever get that far. Mark 16, 1 and 2, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, his mother, and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. I said, I want to take my text, and it is the rising of the sun, and for a subject, I want to use the quickening power. So Brother Branham is literally taking a subject from the text here. It was at the rising of the sun that this happened, and he's going to talk about the quickening power. Now, this is the greatest week in history. The greatest celebration of all times this Easter, when he proved what he said. Man can say things, but yet can't actually be believed upon thoroughly, that's to the limit, until it's been proved to be the truth. Slick talkers will tell you anything, and there's always somebody to believe it. Jesus was not a slick talker. He was just... He laid it on the line. And as God, who said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, he would not tell you to do something that he would not do himself. You said, now, just a minute, we're talking about a faith precept here. Have the faith of God. Don't you think God had faith in himself? Oh, come on. We said, I think you're getting that kind of down where the, yeah, where the sheep are. Isn't there such a thing as have the faith of God? Well, if God's got a faith and Jesus had the faith of God, then what is that faith all about? The same as yours. So, Brother Branham says very correctly here, God knows he can do it. God knows he's going to do it. So you say, hey, amen. Well, you say, that's very simple. Oh, brother, that's the truth. So he proved who this was that died for our sins. And remember, this is the same statement in a different way that the Lord gave me. The resurrection proves his death. In other words, when God brought him back, everything that was to be accomplished by his death is absolutely accomplished. That's why a bride is perfect by the blood. We said, Brother, I want to put something into it. Well, where's the blood? I want to put something into it. You can say, hey, Lord. Now that's very nice of you, Lord, to say all these things. And, I kind of believe you're right. I'd like to put something into it. He said, yeah, put yourself in. Well, say, uh-uh. Now, see, look, I'm quite mean it that way, you see. Says the Lord, yes, I know, you're proud like Satan. You want someone to look at you, especially me. I'm looking. It's been looked at. See what your pride will do to you? You say, well, I believe I'm bigger. No, you're proud. Well, I was just trying to be humble. No, anything contrary to the word of God is pride. Where people think you're self-righteous because you say, I'm the righteousness of God because God said so. I'm perfect by the blood because the word says so. They say, oh, you self-righteous bird, you, who are you anyway? I'm going to tell you something. You say what God said is going to get you in trouble with the world and the devil and the flesh. Boy, sure clear the record with God. Who are you interested in? Therefore, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, did he raise him up for a memorial? And is this resurrection morning only one day in a year or a certain day that we celebrate this, or we are benefactors of his resurrection? In the answer category, no. This is just one day. Forget it. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Now, we believe by faith that he raised from the dead, but what has that got to do with me? That was 2,000 years ago. Sure. 2,000 years ago. According to Mark 16, second verse, the resurrection was at sunup. You read it. The sun was rising. And he says, when I thought of that sunrise and the quickening of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, I drew my subject, the rising of the sun. And you realize, of course, he's going to talk about the rising of the S-U-N, merely in type, for the great antitype, the S, capital O, capital N. The rising of the sun. Going back to the beginning. Well, there was a time when the world was lying in utter darkness. It was without form and void. That word is chaos or abyss. The Bible says when you go back on the word, you go to the chaos. Become chaotic, abysmal. In other words, something had happened where the word had gone. Now all this set in. It was without form and void. It was covered with water and laying there in the dark, dismal, gloomy atmosphere. And the Spirit of God moved upon the water and God said, let there be light. God had a reason to do that. For down beneath that water there were seeds that he had planted. And it had to have that sunlight to make it live. Now watch, he's typing to you and me because we are spora or seed. Right? Watch how he takes it down the way into the earth and the flesh. Just keep watching. Everything we're into type now, pointing to anti-type. And the first light was ever given in the earth was God's spoken word. Now not sun, moon. Remember that came later. This is different. Let there be light. So therefore, always the light of the word spoken is first. No matter what comes later, luminaries and different, you always go back to the beginning. Always original. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, let there be light, and there was light that turned darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and light upon the earth. All right. Coming a day when the earth goes through a throes of destruction, earthquakes and floods and cataclysms and burnings. And if he says, let there be light, what's going to happen? Going to burst forth in joy. So the bride's going to come down in the millennium, okay? And the Spirit of God is at move with love and compassion at that great day. It moved with love and compassion. See, because something had gone wrong. Everything had gone off, but there were seeds there. Everything in this world has gone off, but there's seed there. Chaotic conditions. You keep everything abreast in this hour, brother, sister, or Brother Branham's message means nothing to you. I'm sorry. If you ever put this back with Luther, I'm sorry. If you put it back with Wesley, I'm sorry. And if you put it back with Pentecost, I am not only sorrowful, I am disgusted. Because, see, you blew it. You know, I've been teaching a long time this message. And I would hate to have anybody around me for just even a little while who would go back and not forget the things which are behind. And that word means directly behind your back, like this curtain is. And you look at what is before you, that means right here under your nose. And Brother Branham brought us under the nose message. And the instant turning of the back. So we see this. We're looking at this hour. But, oh, it wasn't anything, that sunrise, like the sunrise on that Easter morning. That great week. This time, with the sun leaping into the skies, it brought forth a greater sunrise than ever, because it came with greater news on this sunrise than it did on the sunrise at the beginning. Now, there was good news at the beginning. Remember, and the earth was going to bring forth in a plentitude. But it was a plentitude that was going to fall. And now the great news is He is risen, and we're risen with Him in His kingship and kingdom. The greater sunrise. The greater sun has risen. And Brother Branham said, oh, that was a great thing that Luther brought. As when you compare it to Catholicism. And it was a great thing that Wesley brought when you compare it to Lutheranism. And it was a great thing that Pentecost. He said there was a glory there. But what a glory this is. It'll never fade because the glory of God has been manifested. And you're at the end time, see? Oh, it brought a great news. He has risen. He's quickened from the dead as He's promised. He's risen from the dead. Now remember. Oh, what's the use? I'll just read and I'll just keep hopping back and forth like a cricket on the griddle. You know there's no ease I'm going to get out of this one. I'm going to take a little bit of theological liberty. Yet, don't worry, I'm right on target. Third chapter of the book of Acts, and in verse 19, the middle part, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, anything which is visible to the eye of that which is there. And remember, Jesus said, they both seen and hated Me when they saw the mighty works that I did. Remember, nature only lets you know there is a God. And Paul said, I am here to tell you about the God that you know is out there. And you can only know Him by Me telling you about Him and a spiritual revelation from God. All right, now listen. The great miracle ministry of Jesus Christ was on earth through William Branham. The ministry that had to be so identical as to prove it was Jesus Christ and not William Branham. So that you were not hearing the words of a man, but a man declared it unto you. And they couldn't believe because the prophet said they wouldn't. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached or appointed unto you. And it says, after the miracle ministry, you can literally look for Him, but it said, hold it. The heavens have still got to keep Him back. Then the one that is up there is not the one that is down here. The one that descended the shout is God Himself, Elohim. The body is up there. A living human body. Because the high priest is a man, the intercessor is a man. Don't get your lines mixed up like Jesus only in some of these people. The heavens got to keep until the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets. And what was it God spoke by the mouth of prophets? His word, because God was in the prophets, what God said for the hour. And invariably mankind ran, messed it all up. And every time God sent a prophet, He unmessed it and added until there came a time when nothing would be added. And as Brother Branham said, He sealed up the New Testament with the opening of seals. You can't add and you can't take. It's just there perfectly and beautifully. Restoration. For Moses truly sent the fathers the prophets of the Lord your God raised up unto you, your brethren like unto Me. Him you'll hear in all things, whatever He sends you. It'll come to pass that every soul that'll not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. That did not happen even back there in Titus 70 AD. Because Israel's still living. There's 144,000 true Israelites are going to be sealed in. Then they weren't all destroyed. So there's got to come a time that that prophet, being extinct through a disability, will destroy everyone. But doesn't listen. And you tell me there's going to be a millennium made up of a bunch of races down here on earth? Where do you get it from? Burn it, leaving neither root nor branch. Get the theologian who challenged Brother Branham, how can they do it? Now listen. All the prophets from Samuel, those that follow after, have many spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You tell me one thing, that Samuel wrote nothing. The word of the Lord came to Samuel by vision and a voice. And the voice was a vision. Because when Samuel heard the voice of God, it said he wouldn't go and tell Eli the things that God showed him. That he actually, and the appearing, the vision, the whole thing.
So here the prophet took that stand to see the pillar fire. You and I couldn't see it, and he'd repeat back what the pillar fire said, and so therefore we saw the same thing Brother Branham saw. All right, let's keep going. You're the children of the prophets, the covenants which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth. Now listen, unto you first, God having raised up his son, sent him to you to bless you, in turning every one of his iniquities. Now listen, brother, sister, it tells you right here that God raised up Jesus Christ first, and that is not through the birth of Mary. That is from the ground he was raised up in a resurrection. Now when you say first, you have got to add a second, because it shows forth a series of raising up, or at least one more. Or it would merely say God raised him up, period. But it doesn't say that. It said God raised him up first. Now it says over here, when times are refreshing, when you're going to see what this one here, when he's raised to the Gentiles, when you see him doing the same things in the form of the Holy Spirit, the Son of Man revealed, the prophet in the pillar of fire, and the elect bride seeing there. When that happens, you know that the one that's here is going to send that one that's there, which you don't know when. And the point is, what does it matter when, if you're ready, when his when comes? If you have your when, what does it matter about his when? And what does it matter to him about his when we've got our when? You follow me? Exactly true. So God raised him up. So there's a resurrection to the Gentiles. And there's a spiritual resurrection which Brother Branham goes into, which I can see we're not going to get to this morning, even though it's maybe down the road about 6-7 pages. All right. The first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there will be life upon the earth, mortal life. The next rising said, there's going to be, through this instrumentality, immortal life upon the earth. When's it going to take place? Now. See? That's why Brother Branham was so thrilled with this message. But this time when the sun rose, this time, there was a dual sun rising, another sun rising. It was not only S-U-N rising, it was S-O-N had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge he'd seen lying in the earth. Now when the light struck, it said all those seeds will be able to come forth because we're going to establish the way in which it is done by the sun and the moon. Now there was a word that came down in human flesh. And through the processes that God had laid out in his word, it was incumbent when the light was struck by God, and the light shattered and spread, and the blood upon the earth, the dead were going to come out. And they did. When they crucified the Son of God afresh, which they've already done, that same life is going to bring the dead out of the earth. No more could the botany life live back there at the beginning without the S-U-N to bring it to life. No more today when sons of God are upon the earth. Oh, they're here. Sure they were. Still here. It takes the S-O-N, light, to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that he knew before the foundation of the world. He had chosen them in himself before the foundation of the world. And on Easter morning then, in this dirt somewhere, laid their bodies, say soul and spirit that time, for we are the dust of the earth, and in heaven there was a book of memory, and his attributes was in him, knowing that because this Son of God raised, it would also raise to life every son that was foreordained at this, to this great time. Now he tells you the reason that one raised because of attributes, and we have the same attributes in the minuscule form. We're part of it. Say, well, I tell you, what does that mean? Well, it means, look, hey, that's a carnation, that's a lily. Now, I'm not too smart about carnations, but I know they got seeds, and lilies got seeds too, but they're different. Usually they work from bulbs, and they work from seeds, and carnations, of course, they're perennials, they should be, supposed to be, daisies and so on. And they have a different way, larkspur and stuff, a different way. But the point is, you see, there's a life in there. Now, then, when you take a lily, which is an original lily, or original poppy, whatever you got, and you say, well, now, this one was this way, then everyone that was in the original will be the same way. So if God raised him, he's going to raise us. Now, you see, that blows the idea of faith. Hey, you don't need any faith that we're going to have something deep down there. That sure as the sun rose this morning, we're going to. That's in the book. You say, well, why do you say a thing like that? Because, you see, that's the way it is. You say, well, maybe something could happen. That's true, but ain't nothing going to happen. Well, you say, what if it really did happen? Well, you could excuse that, but you make something happen to God. You can't do it. See, there's something, that's where Brother Anthony, you all but try to put something into it. He said, quit trying to put something into it. Get into it. You know, people are so afraid to get in the pool because there's maybe not enough chlorine. Or maybe somebody with dirty feet got in the pool ahead. Oh, shut up and get in the pool. Oh, brother. Said you'd get in the pool. And on Easter morning, then, in this dirt somewhere laid our bodies at that time. It's our bodies right now, we're lying there. You know what? When a bunch of dirt was being glorified, we were there unglorified. Now, we're going to get glorified, and there's going to be a bunch of dirt lying there unglorified. That's the way it is. Now, and in heaven there was a book of memory, and his attributes in him, knowing that because God had raised this, and like I said about the living, God had run true to form, it erased the life of every son ordained to this great time. He knew it would be, and what a more glorious sunrise that was than at the beginning, at first, the first time it dawned, because one was type, one's anti-type. All right, that sunrise was the great breaking of the Easter seal. Now today we have a tuberculosis Easter seal. People send messages one to another, support this great drive, or this fund for doctors and medical science to work upon something to retard or help tuberculosis, their seal, what we call an Easter seal, when we send a message one to another. But when we receive the message that the seal is broken, because the seal is what's got a message bound on the inside. Now, what's he saying? I'd say nothing to it. Here comes the herald, and he said, I have a letter from the king. He said, here is the seal on the back. And the man says, I'll take it and look at it. He said, no, you won't. He said, that's not for you. He said, that's for the other king. So God, the great king, he's, and we're priests and kings under God, remember? He sent a message and it was sealed. And he sent it to little kings, that's you and me. Very little, by the way, very little. But, so what? Kings nonetheless. Princes, see? Prince of God. All right, now, see, there's a message behind it. Now, the whole Bible is sealed to the end time with seven seals, or there can't be a resurrection. Now, what in the world is the seal all about? It encloses a message. Then the Lord shall descend from heaven with a message. Who is the Holy Ghost? God's own messenger. What if you're easy not? Who brings the word? Men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. God's his own prophet. God's his own teacher. God's his own evangelist. God's his own prophet. I mean, I said that once. God's his own apostle. God's a messenger. His own messenger. The messenger of the covenant was an angel. What was it? God stood there. And because he was surrounded by that which brought him into view to the people, especially the prophet, that was known as the messenger. That's why the messenger coming was Christ. So he comes down. Now, Brother Branham said he comes down to set himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. Then he's got to break the seals to do it. Amen. And people try to tell him the seventh seal has not been broken. Seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Why are you going to do that? So are you going to close your eyes? Well, we believe the message, but the prophet really wasn't here. Now, that you see, I don't say that, Brother. That's what you're saying, my friend. I don't care. I don't care what you say you're saying. I'm going to tell you what you are saying. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, because I could be in the same boat. See? Because there's a message behind it. And remember, under the seventh seal was the seven thunders, and they banged in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You better talk them. See? Now, this great Easter seal. But when we receive the message, that seal is broken, because the seal is what's got a message bound on the inside. See? But now the true Easter seal on this sunrise is broken, and the secret of life and death was revealed. That was back there, but you got the same thing occurring again. Before that time, we didn't know. The world groped in darkness, groped around man's suspicions. Theories were in the midst of men's hearts. Traditions, made-up things. Men worshipped idols, worshipped the sun, worshipped all kinds of gods. And all kinds of people what made claims, but they all went to the grave with their claims. And they stayed in the grave with their claims. But the real seal had been broken. And one who once lived as we lived, died as we will die, was risen or made to rise from the dead. All right? That's why Brother Branham could say Christ is the seal. Christ the mystery of God revealed. He came down, there stood God revealed. There stood the mystery, there stood it all. And he contained the message. And that's the paradox. Nobody repudiated the works except the pure, blind, ignorant, and those stricken with folly. Everybody said, we love the works. But they turned down the assessment. They turned down the words. See? Now, but the real seal had been broken, and one which lived as we lived, died as we died, was risen from the dead. What a morning! Never one like it in all the history of the world. The secret was made known that he was both resurrection and life. Now, you see, there's the thing right today. But you know, when you talk about resurrection and life, there's a spiritual and a physical, and you cannot keep them apart, but then you must keep them apart. That is in your understanding. We have already had a spiritual resurrection from amongst the spiritually dead in Babylon, but the physical resurrection has not yet taken place. See? Then he said when he came forth on that morning, because I live, you live also. Not only was he the beneficiary of the resurrection, but all those seeds that were resting in God's great providence were benefactors of that resurrection. They benefited from that resurrection to life, because he said, because I live, you shall live also. Now there's identification. Now that's real identification. As a son, you are not identified. You're either a son or you are not a son. You either were in the genes of God or you were not. And you can't get there by hocus pocus or by trial or anything else. You either were or you weren't, just like I said, the lily here. The lily came a certain way, stays a certain way, carnation's a certain way, daisy's a certain way, larkspur, the whole bit, fern, everything a certain way, and that's exactly what it is. But when it comes to his death, you and I did not die for our sins, he did. But we were identified in that. And when he rose, we were identified. But when it comes to sons, he stands in the midst of sons. Only sons can be born again. And that is not some divine alchemy. That is from the beginning. Brother Branham categorically stated, let's understand these things, brother, sister. You were a fallen son. And you look at yourself, and I keep telling people, listen, I've been around animals and people, which is a high form of animal, which is the lowest form of animal. Because they can think. And believe me, their thoughts are manure thoughts. And a fallen son can do everything that a non-son can do. Yeah. And a whole lot worse because he is a son. Well, that's a good question. If everyone was really a son, in a sense, that's true sons, real sons. And these sons, you know, because there's a deep in here calling too deep, and they know that they're not satisfied, but they'll do terrible things. Now, here's an old sinner boy out here that he's like that beast in a sense of the word. Now, the beast was unique because he had a place for soul and didn't have a soul, but these others got souls. So we're gonna you know, play it down a bit just to get the picture. This fellow out here, he's not like you and me. He's not a son at all. But he's just a dumb hog. Wow. I want to ask you a question. In the court of a law, a just court of law, who should deserve the worst blame and punishment? That poor bird out there, or you and me? You and me. So you better get a hold of grace this morning, brother, sister. Because when you talk about putting into and this and that, you know you're cutting your throat. Let's just look at... Here's a... Now, mothers in nature are different from fathers. Too bad men that are born in the human race cannot be real people. We got too much of the other. Now, what I'm talking about is this. Although a father, an animal, may, like a wolf, may feed the cubs and try to help the babies, the mother really does the real job in there. Now, there's something in nature, and there is in us to say, well, now, we love children, and, you know, if it's a boy, well, we'll buy, what, we got the blue stuff all laid out here, and girl, little pink, or whatever. Now, they go just for yellow, because you're not, you're smart now. You don't care which it is, really, because it doesn't do you any good. That's the casting of the lots in the hand of man, but the disposal is in the hand of God. What I'm trying to say is this. We, you and I, would, in our normal thinking, would plan everything for that child. That's foreknowledge and predestination. And why wouldn't God foreknow and predestinate if we're smart enough to know to do that, if we could do it? And remember, God can do it. Then wouldn't he do it? Now, I see, therefore, I'm trying to tell you something here. God has already made every preparation so that all the Son has to do is to say, I'm coming. I've heard the voice of the shepherd. I've heard the eagles cry. That's it. And there's nothing I put into it. It's that I stand here and let him put it into me. That's consecration. That's nothing in my hands I bring simply to thy cross I cling. Now that sounds very pretty, but when you but it's not erudite and it's not pretty. It's the fact of the matter. It's bloody. It's gory. It's bleeding. Because remember, they didn't take the lamb and shoot a bullet in and plug the hole up so he wouldn't bleed nasty. The first lamb was taken a jagged rock across the jugular vein and blood was everywhere. And you know that sheep in terror are same as all people, all things dying and men dying. They grow rigid, they defecate, they urinate, they can't hold it any longer. And animals, even before they die, and you've seen an animal scared, he urinate all over the place and defecate. People do the same thing under fire and war and everything else. It's not a very pretty sight. So Cain brought the lilies, and he said, isn't that lovely? He said, I saw that stinking mess down there with my brother Abel. He said, you know, man, he said, that, now Abel, he, you know, that. But after all, I'm the firstborn. That's the way it should be done. Wasn't done to me. Death's not a very pretty thing. Now, if God did that for you and me, why can't we just take it? Why can't we just take the resurrection? That's the faith of God. God had faith in himself and he brought it to pass. See? But just begin to let yourself go, because that's the secret of the broken seal. Who could break the seal? And it was broken, who could read it? Who knew what to do? All right? Now, that was the breaking of the seal. Son, you're free to come home. Because he was brought up, so will, that's part of the grave, so will every one of us that's in Christ be brought up with him. Wonderful. That is true. Why? Because that's the way it's done. Here's something. I'll tell you something. This is the truth. And a lot of people wish it weren't. You know, there's going to be a resurrection, which is called the general or the second resurrection, wherein everybody but the bride comes up. And they're going to be judged. Now, those people that go in the grave, they know better and have known better than to do the things that they did, such as Stalin and Hitler and Nero and Pharaoh and Agrippa and Herod and some of our friends. You think that Joe John Kennedy was revered as one of the greatest men ever lived in America, charismatic to the hilt, but wanted two women in bed at one time with him? The record proves the man was a sexist. I guess you're trying to make a thing of him by now. I want to ask you a question. Do you think he didn't know something down the road that needed? Do you think if you and I aren't born again, there isn't something down the road going to meet us? And the strangest thing is, those that claim to be born again don't even have any faith in the propitiation of Jesus Christ, the blood scattering, that they don't meet it because they're never going to come into a judgment. If they did wrong, they'd be burnt up. Not them, but what they did. The Bible said to be tried, but they're not going to lose anything. There won't be one hair of your head lost. Now, here's what I'm talking about. There'll be a lot of people, like the book of Revelation says, hide me from the wrath of the Lamb that sits on the throne. And my point is this. There's a lot of people who don't want to be in a resurrection, but they're going to be in one anyway. Now, my brother, my sister, let me tell you something. The resurrection is not in your powers and mine. We are going to be in a resurrection. Now, the thing is, let us examine ourselves if we be candidates of the first resurrection. And if we be candidates, which we are according to the prophet, then our worries are gone. For though they burn my body, and I go to ashes, dust, or back to the gases, every little atom and molecule in my body has been touched by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has his brand on it. And one day, when he calls, every single atom in my body and your body is going to come right back if we should go to the dust. Because it's got a brand on it. And I'm going to tell you something, sister. Brother, we don't have one thing to do with it. We don't have one thing to do with it. It's already done. You know something? When you're dead, you're dead. They can jump on you, stamp on you. They can burn you. Or they can be very self-righteous like the Roman Catholics were, who dug up the bones of the priests that killed Joan of Arc and then burnt the bones and said, isn't that lovely what we did? And those priests didn't care 2 cents. But there's a day coming when they will. And you know what? The people that dug the bones up and burned them will be right there with them. Like Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you said if we'd been back there in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have done this. He said, I'm going to tell you, you're cursed with your fathers. You know why? Because the lily brings forth lilies, and the carnation brings forth carnation, and serpent seed brings forth serpent seed, and seed of God brings forth children of God. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. I get steamed up and I raise our preaching. I've been playing around the edges for a minute there. Got to get warmed up myself. Begin to understand it's already been done. Come and dine, the Master calls. There's a table spread. See? Message, bring a bride together. He didn't even know you're being brought together. William Branham came on the scene. I watched him. My wife went. I said, I won't go see him. I read in the paper, well, he could discern disease. I said, I never said he was the devil. I said, well, I said, I've seen spiritists do that, so he gives rip. I never said he did it by spirit. I just knew it could be done. Who cared? Told little Pentecost, the girl used to work for us. So she said, well, Sister Bell, you and I better go down there. She said, she said, Brother West said it's fantastic and this and that. So my wife trots down there with her. They hitchhike down there because I was on strike. I was part of the tram strike. Even saw my wife had to stay home. So she prevailed on me that I should go and talked and talked. And I got the feeling, you know. That's exactly how I felt. Then a good friend of mine came by and he put the thumb screws on gently. That old boy caught in the trap. It's my wife and this bird. So one seat in the balcony. Whose seat was it? Mine. Everybody else standing outside. Wasn't long till I started crying for 2 solid hours. I knew it was over. I don't know what somebody else heard from that man. I don't remember a word he said, but I saw what happened. And I knew it was God, and I knew one thing. If I ever listened to any man, listen to that man. I didn't know a message was calling. You say, does that gather? If you don't believe it, that's your business. I'm not here to persuade anybody. I'm just going to tell you what happened. That's what Brother Branham did. That's all anybody can do, tell you what happened. See, that's what it's all about. See? Now, because of breaking the seal, because he's brought up, so will everyone that is in Christ be brought up? Of course, there could be a slip-up. Now, I, William Branham, prophet of God, through vindication,
The same vindication that vindicated him, the same power that raised him, well, you know, it couldn't be a slip-up. God might change his mind. Is that what he said? He said, look, so will everyone that's in Christ be brought up with him. The Word of God says he's going to bring them forth. At this glorious sunrise, God had proven or vindicated his word. All the glooms and doubts that had moved in people's minds were taken away, because here was he who once lived, ate, drank, and with whom they had fellowship and mankind had fellowship, and said, I have power to lay my life down. I've got power to raise it again. Now, not only had he made the statement, but he proved it to be the truth. And the same one said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And I won't raise my voice in the street. I won't contend. I won't do one thing I'm doing here. I won't fuss, argue, incite, contend, or even raise my voice. He said, they won't even know I'm around hardly. But I'm going to tell you something. I won't break the bruised reed. I won't put out the smoking flax. He did that to Israel. To the Israel, he was flesh. To the Gentiles, he is spirit and a name. And in his name we trust. Because he's Jehovah God. The same one rose to the Gentiles in this hour. See? All right. And now, not only had he made the statement, but he proved it to be the truth. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. I'm sure this morning that even we who believe it cannot comprehend what a great thing that was. Because he raised from the dead, we also have already raised from the dead while we were in him. That is identification. Pretty soon it won't be. See? And in his glory we'll shine. We'll be like him. We'll be changed. See? Notice now, as the gloom covered the earth and the seeds could not live without the S-U-N to rise, the gloom had covered the earth now and the S-O-N was risen, and all gloom was made to vanish by this light. Certainly light disbands shadows. As it spread across the nations to the people, it was said, he is not here, but he is risen. What a statement! You know, one day they came to Jesus and tell us plainly. They said, tell us bluntly. Lay it on the line. Boy, who are you? And he said, I told you. The works proved it. He said, are you going to believe it if I tell it again? No, you're just going to use it against me. And said, you know that idiot thinks he's the Son of God. You know that crazy guy, not 55 years of age. And he looks horrible for his age even. And he said he was back where Abraham was. I was supposed to believe he had a facelift or something. Ah. Boy, what crawls out of the woodwork when you give it a chance? They just flirt at him. And they got so all fired up because they found the one that they slurred was loved by the people. And they said, well, we're going to lose everything we got. And what did they have? What did they have? To death and destruction. So they said, let's kill him. He had proved his word. He had proved it to be true. For he had now conquered death, hell, and the grave, the trinity of the devil, death, hell, and the grave. For Satan is the author of death. He's the possessor of hell and also the grave. How do you like that? You know, we're on the verge of a mighty cataclysm. The bride is about to go up and Satan is about to be cast out. And you know that Satan knows the handwriting on the wall. But you know he can't handle the word. He can't do a thing about it. All he could do is stand back and watch. He's very angry right now. And his main weapon right now is the same weapon he had back in the days of Jesus the Christ. And they said, oh, say, Brother Branham, look, Brother Branham. Now, I want to tell you something. Said these great men that stood there in Chautauqua, Ohio, down here by toward Middletown. Yes, let's be very proud of the state of Ohio. Prophet of God stands there, and these were not two men that lived in Ohio. Praise be to God. Both hands above me. Texas, I think. California, I'm not sure, but they didn't live either. One of the states represented here, you're free. They stood on the platform and they said, Brother Branham is a great prophet when he tells you about your diseases and these things and the miracles. But he's not a prophet come to the word. He doesn't know the word. Or they don't even know what a prophet is. Theologians. Boy, that's a corrupted word. Theology simply means the theo and logo, logos. That means the word concerning God. Well, they didn't have it, I can tell you that. Brother Branham did. He proved his word, okay? The Trinity of Satan. Death, hell, and the grave. All right? And that was the Trinity of Satan. Caused, being caused by one thing, that was death. And sin caused death. Death, you go to the grave. Being a sinner, you go to hell. He puts it together. The Trinity of Satan. There was death that held man in captivity all these years, but now the true Trinity of God being one, manifested in Christ through his life, had broken the seals, conquered the enemy, and rose up the one true and living God. I am he that was dead, am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. Now, brother, let's understand this. When a seal is broken, right? Now, understand the picture. Now, watch. The seal is broken. We got this message rolled up here. Okay, the seal is broken. Here it comes open. Now then, listen. It's completely sealed to the complete unsealing. Now that sounds like a little bit of a double talk, but get what I'm trying to say. When Brother Branham said the seal was broken, literally the breaking of that seal put another seal in place. Which means when the truth came, you couldn't do one thing about it. It's over. And that's where we stand with William Branham, prophet of God, and God with us. The broken seal literally sealed. You can't stop time and eternity. We've got it now. We are in the position there is neither time nor space to the bride. On my own heart, before God, I witness to that. I know neither time nor space when it comes to the bride. And I'll stand here and tell you, not blink an eye. You say, Brother Bailey, you're some mystic. Call me what you want. Call me a son of the devil. I prefer to believe I'm a son of God. Call me what you want. But my revelation tells me and shows me that the bride is one. And their Lord God is in the midst of her. I don't see any time. I don't see any space. Eternity is blended with time. I have no trouble. The ushering of the millennium is taking place. You do what you want about it. That's my understanding of coming out of Pentecost. God in one made man and dwelt among us and conquered every enemy. And it proved that the Trinity of Satan was conquered, that the Trinity of God was made known, because God only alone had power to bring life back again. He was that Emmanuel. Of course, that means God with us. God had been manifested in flesh. No wonder he could claim there, Matthew the 27th chapter, all power in heaven and earth is given in my hand. I send you to be a witness all around the world. He had conquered both death and hell and grave. He certainly conquered space because he said go around the world. The message of the kingdom, Brother Sixth, had been preached. Brother Branham said, I was seven times around the world. Now, that Brother Branham stand there, I was seven times around the world, and he's just a big, just, you know, a little humbug Irishman standing there out of Kentucky. So he's got to look good because God's got to give him some kind of little ministry that looks nice, and so he stands there. I've been seven times around the world. What did he mean? Now, I want these things to sink in. You know why? Because unless they sink in, you cannot be serious and sober about this message where life and death are in the balance in this hour. You can't do it, my brother, my sister. You've got to take every word that's heard and weigh those words. Right. Now, was he just putting on a show, a fiasco? Or did he mean it? Then if that's the case, there comes a perfection. And this gospel of the kingdom has been preached. So I believe there's a lot of folk down in Arabia haven't heard this word. So the seed ran out. A lot of folk in China haven't heard. So the seed ran out. Where's the end time? America, melting pot. You show me one people that's not here in America. I'll bet you the Maoris are here somewhere. New Zealand, Australia, New Zealand, isn't it? I'll bet you the Bushmen from South Africa are here. I'll bet there's blood here. And I don't necessarily refer to the Zulu that came down later. I'm talking of two distinct peoples, genetically speaking.
Nobody knows who is anyway. But you watch the seeds come down. There's only three major groups, Brother Branham, 8 or 9. Ham, Sham, and Jacob. What do you want? All right, aren't you covered? And if the seed is run out, where is it? Then have they heard or haven't they heard? See? God's no fool. Sheep hear the voice. Whenever a soft sheep get go looking, hey, man, hey, Master Shepherd, hey, Master Shepherd, oh, I'm over here, Master Shepherd. Poor old sheep groggy, wandering, full of birds, and then banged around, chomped on by wolves. Bleating, the shepherd, hey, what? I hear noise, where? Shepherd goes find it. Some of you folk got Nazarene theology. Well, merciful heaven, I hope not. Bad enough to be honest. Methodist? Presbyterian? Bad enough to be anything. Be a Christian. Be a Christian, brother, sister. That's what we're up against this morning. Listen. Now then, not only that, he said his word to the disciples. He said, fear not, for I am he that was dead, that is alive again forevermore, and I have the keys to death and hell. I've conquered it. Well, you see, if that's the case of the fact having been accomplished, what are we waiting for? For all the seed. That's all. They could have had a resurrection rapture back there in the time of Paul. No problem. It wasn't time. The seed hadn't come in. You know, God just doesn't have a plan to say, oh, hey, great, zap, and it's over. Before there was a speck of stardust, he sat back there for trillions of eons till it all came together. And he began to move. God's not in a rush. Jacob learned that. Anybody here remember the tape I preached on, the sermon I preached on Jacob's prayer in the Bible? Old Norm remembers. They're still around here. That's where old Jacob, his brother, was coming to get him. So he dropped in his knees and he said, Lord God, he took time with the enemy coming. The prophets did the same with Elisha. Did his best to get in the spirit. You, the guy coming to take his head off his shoulders is coming. He said, bring in this. He said, playing that instrument there. He said, I want to get quiet before God. Got all quiet and down, couldn't hear a thing. He said, look, well, I guess it's just time to go before he kills me. He walked across the street and disappeared. Old Jacob knew his brother coming to kill him. He got down his knees. He said, Lord God, he said, you've been so good to me. He said, you've done wonderful things for me. He thanked God for everything, prayed around the world, so to speak. And then he said, now, Lord, he said, my brother's coming down the road to get me. If you don't do something. He got off his knees and stood before God. Okay, brother, what are you going to do? Your brother's ready to give him the fifth rib treatment, you know, which is that jolly scripture one. They hug you and get you in the fifth rib with the dagger. He dropped the dagger and kissed his brother both cheeks. He said, look. He said, kids are kids. We're a couple of fools, both of us. He said, I was jealous. But he said, look, man, I got all kinds of things. He said, I don't need your camel. I said, man, he said, look, I'm loaded the same as you are. Let's be buddies. See, there's a difference, brother, sister. Fear's gone. See, all these things, he conquered it, raised the dead. What a wonderful thing. I'm alive, quickened. The word quickened from the Greek word means that's something that's been made alive after it died. Like the seed that goes in the earth. Now watch this one. It has to die. Every bit of that seed has to rot. Every bit of the seed. And every bit of the life that was in the seed has to come forth again. Yeah. Law of nature based on God's way. Now listen, the church had to fall on the ground and die. But the church forgot it had to get rid of the coat that had to die. There wasn't one soul in the bride that ever died. There's not one spirit that's not going to make it, but the bodies are dead and the dogmas and the creeds are dead. And my brother, sister, let me tell you something. If you've got one creed or one dogma back in Pentecost, that you superseded this message with that creed or dogma. You have got brain rot and heart rot, and there is no cure for that outside of a rebirth or a genuine repentance. If you're walking in a bit of darkness, though you are a true child of God. Every thought must be brought into captivity. Every creed and dogma has to rot, because it was that body of that word that brought the bride to her death. And therefore, it is that body of that word that has to rot completely, or you have no spiritual resurrection. This is the hardest thing in all the world. I found it all in my preaching. To convince people to let their own thinking go, as the prophet said, and judge no longer, meditate no longer, and also compare no longer with what you formerly knew. Wash it out of your heart and mind and say, what is he saying? As we learned in the paradox. Brother Branham said that John was the forerunner of an Ephesus. And there's an Ephesus at this hour. And he let you know what the forerunning was, and he showed you how it worked. And people said, well, I know they're saying. I know what happened. They're not saying anything. They said, Brother Branham said, there's got to be an Ephesus. They said, well, marvelous. I believe the prophet. I said, no, just a minute. What does he mean? Oh, I believe the prophet. I want you to just sit and think a little today, brother, sister, on that statement. See, I could be confused, and the other fellow could be right, and I could be just wrong. But you see, in my thinking is this. When Brother Branham told the Pentecostals, he said, look, you will not take the word predestination, so I'll give you the word foreknowledge. That, to me, was insulting them to the hilt and saying, look, you people cannot stand an organ, so I'll call it a piano. And you're like a piano. And what I'm saying this here, if you judge everything that Brother Branham said in the light of your own understanding, or you have that possibility and you're doing it even somewhat, there is no way that you've lined with the Word. There is no way that you know that you're not adding or taking, because you are. There is no way you can escape it, because you're using what was already added or taken. You've got to come to the place where you look at it and say, hey, what is he saying and why is he saying it? All right. Notice, it may take a long time for the old body of this light, the old food we were feeding on, of all of that to go by the board, but it's got to go by the board. I stand up here time after time, I tell you, look, not to be smart, you know, say, oh, leave it. Look, I don't know nothing. God be my judge, I know nothing, but I do know Jesus was all wrong, usually. But I sat with Brother Brandon 4.5 hours in one point. Until he finally, I said, Brother Brandon, are you trying to tell me that baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth is one and the same thing? Now, look, I can produce every tape but about six, and every single one will tell you what you thought you heard him say. That the baptism with the Holy Ghost and rebirth is different because he said it was. And he turned right around and said, you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost 1,000 times a day and still miss it. Until you know what he's saying, you're in trouble. 4.5 hours. He said, now you got it, Doc. Well, that blew my mind. So somebody says, well, now Brother Brown said, there's got to be an Ephesus. How do you go a little further? Do you know what the Ephesus was? The woman at the well at discernment. The forerunner John for the Ephesus, and the Ephesus was Jesus at the well. And William Branham stood there, a figure of man instead of Jesus Christ, and read people's hearts. That's our Ephesus. God, discerning thoughts and intents, he's here with us. And that's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost, because the church was forbidden to do it. Brother Branham said anybody practicing that gift of discernment publicly was false anointed. Do what you want with what the prophet said. Go back to Pentecost. Have a good time at your expense. And it will be at yours, not mine. You say, babe, you're getting mean and tough again. Get back to where you're nice to nature. Thank you. I'm right back again. Right back again. But cursed is the man whose sword does not draw blood. He was quickened. And not only that, he promised.
And I will send the same light that quickened me, the power that brought me from the grave. I'll send it upon you to quicken you, that where I am, there you'll be also. Now, my brother and my sister, that's the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But it's also the paradox that the great quickener is here to raise the dead. The great paradox is, they saw the great works of William Branham, which were the works of God. And then he said, I'm going to tell you about it. Oh, they said, don't bother. We know all about it. Hallelujah. Because, Brother Branham, we agree with you, prophet of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray for the sick. We see the dead raised. We should hold it, hold it, hold it. I'm not talking of that. I'm talking when he was here. I'm talking when he was here. Now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he is, then he'll do now that he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did when he was here in flesh. And they say, oh, how quaint, how quaint. You mean the baptism. No, I don't. I mean the baptizer. Amen. You doubting me? Are you doubting me? Come on. Let's find out. He said, what was the question? Was I the Son of God? He said, no. Terrifier? No. Listen. Let's get every doubt under control this morning. I don't care who you are. I'm going to answer to God for my preaching. You're going to answer to God for hearing it. And I'm not mad to anybody. But you see, I know this is the point that people are not getting. Because I wasn't born yesterday. The day before, but not yesterday. Now that pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God. The Logos, which is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. What does it mean? God had to have some way to outray himself. What was in him intrinsically, what he was. So he had an object to do it, John. Because no man can see God nor live. No man. What we can see? Pillar of fire, lamb. You doubt that? Who doubts that? The city of Zion, the lamb is on the throne, right? The top. Do we see him? Yes. And prophet said what? Pillar of fire above it, right? That's what you see, right? And you don't see God, period. How can you see spirit? You say, Brother Leo, when I get so-and-so, I got news for you. The Bible didn't say that. But a face-to-face, brother, sister, is a confrontation of the indisputability of the true credibility of the Almighty. And you're seeing it. When God came in the form to where it could be seen, notice when God became, Elohim means the one that becomes. Amen. The forming God in our midst. Forming from Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and now. You know something? You believe what I'm telling you because it's the truth. I believe what I'm telling you because I know it's the truth. Amen. But it's really hard to get. Because you're still the mind. Doing, doing, doing. The battle of Armageddon is right up here for you and me. Say, hey, I got rid of my thinking. I got to stop my thinking. God becoming. God becoming. Now, just a minute. Essentially, God cannot become because he changes not but dramatically within the role of the drama wherein he assessed himself as the main character. He can change his role any time he wants, back and forth and in between for a million roles. God becoming. Elohim. That's why when I talk about presence, I'm not talking about anything but Elohim. That's all. I'm sorry. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If you believe me, and I'm wrong, I'm going to have to stand before God for all of you. And it's not a nice thought, but I do not believe I'm wrong. All right? When it become to a form where it could be seen. It, the form, was the anointing of the great spirit that went forth, its condescending coming down, God, the Father, the Logos, that was up over Israel. He was holy, could not bear sin. Now he talks the same one in Eden. There had to be blood offering right in Eden. So that same one over Israel, the same one in Eden.
All right? Then that Logos became visible, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And where this Logos dwelt in a human body, which was the sacrifice. For when God made man, he made him man in his image. Then God came down the image of man to redeem man. That brought man and God together. Heavens and earth hugged and kissed each other. God and man embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship. The Father and the Son were one in that body. Before, just pillar of fire, fatherhood.
Amen.
Body, Son. See? When Logos became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus said, I came from God, I go to God. Is that right? Certainly. After his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, where do you come from, mother and father, but you can't go back to them? So where did you come from before? Way back in some source. And you'll go back to it.
Amen.
Oh, you will. If you're in God, you'll go back to God. Serpent seed, you go back to serpent seed. If you're make believer, same dose. Foolish virgin, you'll finally meet up. You get your ancestry all figured out. But I'm going to tell you, that day, every tribe is going to be there, and he's going to take everyone like Joshua took them in the time at Achan, and he's going to just take you right back, all the way back. He's going to take me all the way back, take you all the way back. All right? Can God go to God? Is that rapture, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, when the body was taken up and set at the right hand of God? Now, notice he calls it the body. Now, that sounds like a disrespectful prophet. Here's Jesus. Hey, Jesus, your body. That's awful. No, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. He's making distinction. His language is flawless. This is God speaking to us in this man right here. See, don't argue with God. I don't mean God's got a right hand. The right hand means authority and power. That's exactly right. That and that mean everything in heaven is named, substitute everything in the earth is named, and subject to it. The name of Jesus above all names, Jesus Christ. Now this Logos, now what? Now this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing. Now he calls the Logos was in him. The anointing through the sanctifying grace of the blood brought many sons to God, which is anointed with the same Logos. Now, what he got, brother, sister, you and I get a minuscule. Just like the sperm of a male which has life is minuscule compared to the sire who is the life, the progenitor. Okay? Now, on the day of Pentecost, it came down. What came down? What are you talking about? God, Elohim, the becoming. That pillar of fire broke apart like that. Tongues of fire set upon each one. Not their tongues, the tongues of fire set upon each of them, and elected, selected, identified by the pillar of fire, showing that God has separated himself into men. You get it. God, the Logos, separating himself into men. God not in one person, he's in his church. Universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works I do shall you do more. Now right there you see he's with Pentecost. Hallelujah, brethren, hallelujah, brethren, hallelujah, brethren. Or just a minute, Pentecost, he's going to come down, he's obligated to do in the form of the Holy Spirit for the Gentiles what he did when he was here in the flesh of Israel. He's here now, and he's going to prove it. Ephesus is here. When will the Lord come back? What is he talking about?
Amen.
Talk about lead balloons. Brother, sister, Hebrews 13 and 8 has more than one meaning. You say, Brother Bale, don't Brother Bale me. The prophet said all scripture has compound meanings. You say you believe the prophet? Well, then believe the prophet. He's trying to tell him here. Now, this is to the church universal. Now the King James said greater. Now watch what he's doing. But the right translation is more than this shall you do. Now watch it. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ. Now he's bottled and confined in the whole universal church. To what degree? To the degree of his purpose. But there's another purpose. Back to Ephesus. Fourth chapter. He that came, went up came back as the Holy Ghost. What did he do? He wasn't filling anybody with the Holy Ghost.
in the 11th verse. The 10th verse, he says, he descended as the same that ascended up above all things, that he up in heaven, that he might fill all things. Fulfill all things. What all things? Well, that's the question. Brother Brand said, worthy all things to God. Now, what's he doing? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Tells you right there. Is that the baptism of the Holy Ghost? No, it's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But these have to have the Holy Ghost to get this. Now, you people sitting in the pew, I'm the only one here that has, in the fivefold ministry sitting here, that has the office of a teacher. There's not one of you here a teacher. Maybe you've got some brothers and sisters that say, well, I teach because they teach the Sunday school. Come on. Fat. I mean, we don't desecrate the things of God. I neither am I proud and puffed up. I just tell you the truth and you know it. That's not your baptism. But I've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to function. Now, this is something different. Now, what is this going to do? You're going to perfect the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying the body of Christ, to all communion of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, you say, what about those gifts over there in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that line up? That they're complementary to this. They're complementary to it. That's why Brother Branham said the pastor does not come in and sit with those speaking in tongues and doing this and that. He's in his study. And then they bring what is from that room on his desk and he reads it and he said, well, he said, I wasn't there. And that's true, he wasn't there. But he said, I got faith in those men and those women. He said, this is what they said. Now let's see if it comes to pass. Now what if I stood here and I was telling you what Brother Branham said, vindicated prophet of God, and I said, now this is his idea, but this is mine. I like mine better. I can only say what he said. By the grace of God, I do. I don't know. I can't prove it. Nobody could prove anything. Even William Branham couldn't prove it. He said what God said. We believe it because of signs and wonders and miracles, because of identification. But so what? It's a faith proposition. See? All right. Got to keep reading here. Now, where was I? Must have been 120 here. Oh, yeah. Right now, while God is here speaking with us in our hearts, God in our hearts, baptism, right? He's in Africa, he's in Asia, he's in Europe, he's in England. But when William Branham preached a sermon, let me tell you something. He was in Jeffersonville, April the 18th, 1965. He was not in Africa. So those in Africa did not get or any place else get what God was saying. So this is different. Right? Right. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. I'm a direct person. I'm an impatient person. I said, what's two and two? You say five. I say, hold it out. Brother Branham said it. They said, teach a woman of gifts. He said, if they don't know their ABCs, how can they do algebra? Without knowing ABCs, you cannot do algebra. Because algebra takes the letter form symbols to mean many things when it comes to numerics. And through simplified terminology, which is yet very complex in some ways, brings you down to immediate simple answers. That was nicely put, wasn't it? Thank you. I'll break your tension, not your hearts. God was not in Europe or Africa. Was he? No. But he was in the heart, the baptism. But the light appeared in America, not Africa, not Asia. Not Europe, and according to this fellow in Germany, it did not go back to Germany.
If it did, it backslid. God doesn't do that.
How in the world could God backslide? How could God go back? Come on. People want to go to the resurrection and go back. Brother, sister, you got to go forward. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. God said, Abraham, don't you dare go back.
Now listen. Now after his death, burial, ascension, coming of the Holy Ghost, Paul, on his road, which was Saul through Damascus, struck down by pillar of fire of the Logos. And Paul wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. The great Holy Ghost that gives the measure of his spirit, which is the Holy Ghost to believers, went, pump, shot him right down. And this unregenerate son got a revelation. He said, who are you, Lord? I hope. He said, I'm Jesus, Jehovah Savior. He wasn't even full of the Holy Ghost. He said, Saul, get on your feet. You go to Damascus. There's a fellow down there going to lay hands on you. And you're going to receive something from me called the baptism with the Holy Ghost, because I am the baptizer. Amen. Yes, he said, then you're going to receive your sight, and I'm going to take you out in the desert and talk to you for 2 years. That's not Pentecost, brother, sister. That's the man who came at Pentecost. Amen.
I know shouting doesn't get the point across, but it helps me. Then when my throat is shot, my wife will give me some hot coffee and make it all the worse. Oh, we love each other. You love me. I love you.
Amen.
Now listen. Listen now. Struck down by the pillar of fire of the Logos, and that Jew never would have called that pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos that his people followed through the wilderness. I am that I am. If you do not believe that I am, you die in your sins. I and my Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And Saul knew right there what had happened. See now, that was not the Son of Man. That was the Logos. Certainly that wasn't Jesus Christ in his human form. That was the Spirit of God in an outward evidence. The same spirit that was in Jesus, now we say this with reverence and love and respect, see, as Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and hallelujah, more miracles, hallelujah, more signs. Shut up and listen. I'm sick and tired of Pentecostals shouting and screaming. I'm doing it for the prophecy, putting on a good act for him. One day he said, Lee, you can tell him I can't. I can't say those things about myself. He said, but you can. I'm going to tell you something right here. The paradox. The compound meaning, the same yesterday, today, and forever, means that today he's come back. The same pillar of fire, the same Jesus, the Christ that was in human flesh, has come down now. The same baptizer. His brother Branham said, justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. Huh? Says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, day, and forever, and also in that in the last days as it was before Lot's time, or in Lot's time in Sodom, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. There it is. Pillar of fire, there's the prophet. The prophet said, I am not the Son of Man. No, he's up there. The one that's here with the prophet is doing something so that the one that's up there can come down. The same Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has become from that's the human flesh, back to the pillar of fire again, and has descended down on the earth. I am down on the earth. Everybody but me is up in the air somewhere. Is it my glasses? Funny, my theological brothers, my minister friends, don't understand he's down here. Oh, still, Johnny is up on the ladder. Mother gets scared. Johnny, will you please come? After 5 minutes, I'm down, Mommy. She hears the voice in the air. Do you think that Mommy believes Johnny's down? How many know 2 and 2 are? 5? Drop dead.
Excuse me, but don't come around me.
Pulpit?
Organ? But not if you really call the piano. Oh, come on. I was going to say something, but I got to watch the tape. He said they wouldn't believe it. What it is, he said, it's investigating judgments going on. And now this great pillar of fire that's absolutely identified by scientific cameras, and the picture was here with the cloud, he said they're the same thing. Right? Well, come on, right? Take up your mind. He said it. Is it hard to let your thinking go? The mouth of two witnesses? This? Where's the picture? Never mind, you've seen it. Oh, here it is. Thank you. Old Davy, he's got the eyes of an eagle. Here it is. Camera caught it. The judge in there. Here's the guy to hold it. This picture's very poor. The one that we got, I gave Brother Branham my original. Here it is, right this way. Here's the eyes and nose. Very clear. Here, see, wig. Judge. Here, judge. Same as that. Elohim becoming. Brother Branham said, when he phoned Jack Moore, who is that one in Revelation 1:17? Oh, he said, that's the glorified form. He said, that didn't ring a bell. He could have said it struck a sour note, and I see that. Me. And I said, that ain't man, a kid. There's something wrong with that. But see, Brother Brown is sweet. Gee, I should be like him. Why doesn't somebody pray for me? By your praying, your praise ain't doing much good. You better start praying harder and louder. I got to get over the top here. But he said, listen, he said the picture camera caught it there, the camera caught it there. Now, George Lacey said, Reverend Branham, I called a psychology, but light struck the lens. This lens won't take psychology. Now that's identified. What's identified? The same one that was in flesh is here now without flesh. There in a pillar of fire. Yes. The same one goes in the prophet, for God's in the prophet. And he said, when you see God descend from heaven and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, and that's the truth, this Bible opened before me. He said, well, he's swearing on the Bible. Like fun, he's telling you, how did God do it in the Bible? God's in the prophet. All right. Now watch the works of it. It among us. It among us. It among us. Not in us. In us with Africa. This is among us. That's why the bride doesn't have space or time anymore. We're ushered into the millennium. We're being ushered in. And now returning time has blended. And there's something going on in their bodies right now. A different type of matter. You say, I don't believe it. I do. Hallelujah. I'm getting out of here. Stay if you want. Be my guest. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to quicken your thinking. I know I'm doing a lousy job. I'm sorry about that. You pray some more. You pray harder still. Man. Teach you a lesson to come here. Then watch the works of it. It among us proves the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine. The same spirit that was upon his has come up through a body until it's come back to headship again. You know, headship is here. He sets himself head of the church to raise the dead. Now look, we believe it or we don't believe it. Two and two do not make five. Two and two make four. He is here. He's come on down. He's come down with a shout. He's come down to raise the dead. He's come down to take us up. Hallelujah. We're into it. He said, Brother Bell, I don't feel nothing. Oh, forget your feelings. Fat. I'll keep you another hour and a half here and you feel big pangs in your stomach. Want some feelings? You always knew I wasn't nice. Okay, listen. It among us proves the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine. The same spirit was upon him has come up through a body till it's come back to hitch it again, which he's coming soon to claim the body. The headship to raise the dead. And then the one that is without flesh changes the whole bunch of us, brings them up, takes us up, and the man that is flesh, come on down, we meet him in the clouds up there, and the spirit that's amongst us now becomes incarnate to us. God slips into him.
And we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then out here, now here's what Brother Branham said. Amen. The head's coming to the body. You get it? Now, first of all, he said headship is here. Then he said head coming to the body. Can't you understand he's talking about the facets, the becoming? Can't you let your thinking go? You're not Pentecostal, brother, sister. We're not dealing anymore. Are we dealing with Pentecostal? I want to look you in each in the eye to find out. That's your business, not mine. But are we dealing with Pentecostal? Are you still back there in the rubble of your own mind? Or can you not see that Hebrews 13 and 8 was different in Brother Branham's mind from Pentecost in your mind and mine? We saw the Alpha and Omega principle. I said, Brother Vail, I pray for sick. Oh, drop dead, pray for the sick. There's a bunch of false anointed out there, Judas raising it. Go on, pray for the sick. I believe in praying for the sick. But don't give me your Pentecostal hogwash.
Amen.
I prayed for sick.
Praise the Lord.
I think even one person was dead. I wouldn't say for sure, I don't know. I've seen miracles. Time after time, the most dynamic sort. I'm no more prophet than a dead horse. I'm more of a dead horse than I am a prophet. Prophet of God stood there. Brother Branham was all messed up. Brother and the angel said, don't get your lines mixed up in times like these. Don't get your theology all messed up where you take Hebrews 13 and 8 and run with Pentecost. When William Branham said, 13 and 8, he's obligated then to do now in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did back there in flesh, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the truth. And if he is the same, and if he is here, then he'll do it. And he's dead. Proving Hebrews 13 and 8, brother, sister, different when people thought it was. You love the Lord?
Amen.
I hope so. Just a minute to go on. I can't read this all. I'm going to close. But I won't keep you. Now listen. You get it? Now when the incarnation takes place, that will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star. And when he said that one becomes incarnate to us, it'll be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he wrapped it all up. One God. One God in the form of a pillar of fire. One God in a prophet speaking to his people. One God in multitudes, as it were, diversified. Gifts and all, making up a body. One God. It'll go into that great body up there, the Lamb called Jesus the Christ, identified with mankind. Where God took his genes and reflected them into a bit of soil, as it were, a sperm and an egg, and put it in a woman's womb. And they do it today. They take the male sperm and the female egg, and they can put it in another woman's uterus and take it out and put it back to transfer it anywhere they want, showing that what Brother Branham said was correct. The virgin birth was God creating an egg and a sperm and putting it in a woman's womb, and through chemistry brought forth that great one. Brother, sister, God would do that for himself. It's no marvel he's going to take this dust of ours and change it. It's just a living God doing living things. It's a risen Christ doing the risen thing. It's a great God risen above all things. Let's rise and sing. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph o'er his foes he arose, a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. You know that one? Okay.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph
o'er his foes. You're going to get too high on that, but we're going to sing it anyway. Norman, can you pitch it lower? Who can pitch that lower? We've got to start lower. It's way down. Up from the grave
he arose,
with he triumphed for his foes.
He arose,
a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Lo, in the grave he
be your own. With the mighty triumph for his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Now hold those notes. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Cry out.
Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you. Lunch right down here at the little old Grange, you know how to get there. Enjoyed being with you, and I trust you'll enjoy the day further. The blessings of Almighty God, take them with you. Keep Solomon in his presence wherever you can. Remember this, brother, sister, it is no myth. It is no story told, as he is here. And he has risen from the dead. He's back here, raised up unto the Gentiles. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't you get your own thinking. Believe God. There's only one thing going to get you in this resurrection, brother, sister, in this rapture's resurrection faith and resurrection. And rapturing faith, the prophet said so. And he said everything under those seven seals were there. And he turned around and said he was those seals. Christ revealed. Seals broken means one thing was opened, another thing was shut. He said those seals sealed the Old Testament. New Testament, I beg your pardon. The old thing is gone, the new thing is here. You can't go back. Can't go back. You can't go back if you're blind. Come on, get your thinking gone, brother, sister. I'm not here as a cheerleader. You know that. So a man declare it unto you. That's the old evil tell you. Yeah, I tell you. Well, who is he anyway? Ain't nobody. Never said it was. I'm not living on the milk of humankind or something I got or anybody else's kindness or my goodness or yours or anybody else's. I'm telling you the truth. The word of God came. All right, take the name of Jesus with you. Lord bless you.